Let's talk to Bruce Williamson, is from the campaign group Rail a Future. Is there a future for the railways the way they're running them, Bruce?
Well, undoubtedly there's a future for the railways. Whether they're running them in the best way imaginable, it's pretty obvious they're not, really, isn't
it? Exactly. I mean, we all understand, and people do from time to time take the view on Sundays that either don't bother travelling at all because you know there's going to be rail replacement buses and all of that. But they just seem to do it in such a shambolic way.
Well, generally speaking, I think they don't. I mean, you're quite right to recognise the need for engineering works. You know, no one likes it when there's a bus replacement put on. But, you know, clearly to maintain the railways and keep them running, you've got to replace the rail and do maintenance work on bridges and electricity and so on. So, you know, it's inevitable with the best will in the world that you're going to have to put on these rail replacement buses from time to time. What's, I think, unacceptable, as this clearly has happened, is when you don't put on enough buses.
Right.
Southern will argue, I think it's Southern, the rail company involved, they will argue, well, look, we were taken by surprise with a number of people, but I'm not sure I buy that because, well, for two reasons. Firstly, I think it would have become apparent over the course of the day that, you know, passenger numbers were greater than expected,
right.
and you would have seen these crowds building up. I don't think there was just one mega sardine train that upset the whole apple cart.
No, it looks like there's far more people than that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly. So why didn't they react sooner? Why didn't they say, okay, we need more buses? Because buses, you know, generally speaking, I think you can call them up at reasonable short term.
I mean, that's one of the questions I would have for someone. I don't know if you can answer this, Bruce, but I sometimes use Southeastern, which goes down towards Hastings, right? And there's one bus company down there that gets every single contract whenever there's rail replacement done. They must be making a fortune.
Well, you'd like to think, wouldn't you, that the rail company would shop around a bit and see who's offering the best deal. But usually it's the local bus company because they're the ones, you know, who have to travel the shortest distance to put on these extra buses. But the other point I was going to make is that, you know, okay, you've got rail replacement buses, but what's your plan B and what's your plan C? And I think that's where they've slipped up, really. They've got a plan A. Plan A isn't working out. What's plan B? We haven't got plan B. And I think that's unacceptable.
And of course, Bruce, sometimes they don't tell people in enough advance that there's going to be replacement buses. And buses take longer than trains. And some people are going to miss their flights or miss their connections or whatever it might be. So it's just simple kind of common sense that seems to be avoided. You know, we seem to be employing people to make these decisions that don't seem to have enough common sense. It's not rocket science, is it?
Certainly in the past, you know, you're absolutely right. Communication is absolutely essential about this. And I think in the past, you know, Network Rail got their got their fingers burnt, I think, when they slipped up on this occasion. So yeah, communication is absolutely essential. And there was in the past, you know, really sort of embarrassing situation where the Twitterverse is on top of the game, and you get people looking at their smartphones, looking at Twitter or social media, telling the staff what's actually happening, and the passengers know more than the staff. So that's unacceptable. And you know, I think things are getting slightly better, but I think the rail industry has a lot to learn and a lot of scope for improvement still.
Absolutely right. And I mean, the other problem we have is over the course of the next few days, there will be countless cancellations. There'll be the wrong kind of snow falling. There'll be, you know, no trains. We all know as well, anyone who uses trains regularly will turn up. And some of the people I work with here have had this problem. Especially if you're getting a train early in the morning, you turn up and there's no train. And they'll say things like, we haven't got a driver or we haven't got a motor, a car to put at the front of it. Or, you know, we're having to we've only got four carriages instead of eight. I mean, it seems as though the regulator is not keeping a proper eye on this stuff.
Well, I think I don't know if it's the regulator's fault. I mean, you know, with the best will in the world, things go wrong, and the rail industry, to some extent, has become the victim of its own success. You know, that we see this with overcrowded trains, and there isn't enough rolling stock, and this is a sort of longer term problem that the government needs to address. So, you know, often frustrated passengers say, well, why didn't they just put another train on? Well, they haven't got a spare train to put on.
Why not, though, would be my question.
Because the government is allocating, it's all managed by the government, rolling stock. You know, the train operating companies can't just go out and get themselves an extra carriage. It has to be managed centrally for various reasons, which I won't bore you with.
Yeah, but Bruce, they also talk about the fact that they don't have drivers available. Well, you know what? All these people standing around checking your tickets, retrain them as drivers, and then you'll have spares.
You're kind of half right. I mean, driving is a sort of very skilled job. You could retrain a ticket conductor, but I think, again, that the train operating companies got their fingers burnt a few years back when they took on the franchise and they sort of laid off half the drivers, and then they found themselves, a driver's ill today. We haven't got a spare.
Not rocket science to work that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can manage to do it with aeroplanes, which are a little bit more complicated to arrange, get from A to B, you'd think they could do it with trains. But listen, Bruce, we're going to leave it there. We'll come back to you again soon, I'm sure, because there will be many, many more problems to talk about. We've got a lot to do this morning. Thanks very much for joining us. That's Rail Futures campaign, Bruce Williamson. Right.